brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Welcome, my friends. Second hour of this worldwide broadcast on this 27th day of July 2006. For the next 2 hours, Jim Mars is our guest. Now, we'll try to take calls later in the third hour, but please no calls in the first hour because we've got a lot of different audio clips from the movie JFK, Director's Cut by Oliver Stone, in part mainly written by, of course, Jim Mars. Jim Mars has written for the Fort Worth Star-Telegram, and he's been a crime reporter going back 30-plus years. He's written best-selling books on the Kennedy assassination, 9/11, you name it, and he was one of the principal writers and really consultants and designers of my favorite film, JFK, The Director's Cut. I want to be clear, my favorite film is not JFK. My favorite film is The Director's Cut. And joining us graciously is Jim Mars. Jim, good to have you on with us, sir.
Hey, Alex, it's always good to be with you.
Tell us, I mean, I've got your huge bio here, but just in a nutshell before we go to break and come back, tell us about Jim Mars, how Jim Mars, I mean, obviously you're a Fort Worth slash Dallas boy yourself, so uniquely placed to see all this. You were a reporter back when all this was going on. Break it down for us, you know, who Jim Mars is, what you've done, and how you worked on JFK, how you woke up to JFK being an inside job.
Okay, my background is basically as an old print reporter. I got a degree in journalism from the University of North Texas. In fact, I was in the university at the time of the Kennedy assassination. In fact, I met Jack Ruby about a month before the assassination. Now, I have a picture of me as a young college guy dancing in Jack Ruby's club.
You liked those fast women.
Well, let me explain something here. I think everybody needs to understand that the Carousel Club at that time was one of two clubs. It was Abe's Collie Club and Jack Ruby's Carousel Club. These were known as after-hours joints, okay? And, yes, they had strippers, but they also had acts. I remember seeing a ventriloquist, and they would have a stand-up.
No, I understand. This was a nightclub.
Yeah, it was kind of a latter-day vaudeville.
Las Vegas style, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And it was the place to go. Everybody went there that was looking for, you know, some entertainment after hours in Dallas, and including most of the Dallas Police Department, which they lied about for years. They tried to say, they didn't know them. But Jack Ruby knew and was on a first-name basis with probably half the Dallas Police Department.
Of course, he was really a bag man for the mob.
Absolutely, stretching back to when he was just a youngster in Chicago and running messages for Al Capone. So it goes way back. Another thing that's important to understand is that back at that time, to be a Dallas cop, you had to be a pretty hard right-winger. You had to be a member of the John Birch Society or something, or the KKK. And most of those old boys, a lot of them were World War II vets, and they kept their connections to the military. They would augment their Dallas police pay by serving in National Guard and Army Reserve units, usually in MPs or criminal investigation. And so the ties into the U.S. military go really, really deep. Then, of course, when the assassination happened, I paid very close attention to that. That was the biggest story at the time. Today, with satellite, cable, computers, and iPods and everything else, people don't realize that at the time of the assassination, every major media was preempted. I mean, for almost a week, there was no programming. There was nothing but just constant round-the-clock coverage of the assassination. So this, of course, is what later caused problems for the conspirators because there was so much good information that was put out early on. And then, of course, it did not jive with the official version. I distinctly recall hearing tapes taken in Dealey Plaza, and it was clear that two of those shots went bam, bam, just very close together, and that was confirmed by witnesses I talked to there.
Well, stay there. I mean, because so you're a guy, you know, on the Dallas scene, in college as a journalist student in 1963 when this happens. Jim Mars, our guest. When we get back the next 2 hours, this is going to be unlike any other JFK coverage you've ever heard. 6 year after a year in production and traveling to distant lands, my new film Terror Storm is complete. Shocking declassified government documents prove that Western governments are orchestrating terror attacks against their own populations as a pretext to enslave them. Terror Storm proves that not only was 9/11 an inside job, but the attacks of 7/7 in London were carried out by British intelligence. Terror Storm chronicles the lies that took us to war in Iraq, a White House program to disseminate fake news, NSA spying, secret police torture, the latest 9/11 information, and much, much more. Terror Storm is the definitive guide to the history of government-sponsored terrorism. It's an anthology of government crimes. Terror Storm is a film that everyone who wants to be truly informed must see. Get your copy today at InfoWars.com or PrisonPlanet.com or by calling toll-free 1-888-253-3139 or watch it right now online at PrisonPlanet.tv. Hello, folks. This is Alex Jones introducing you to the incredible Berkey Solar Charger, your source for free solar electricity. This portable system is the size of a book when folded and small enough to fit into a briefcase, handbag, or glove compartment. The Berkey Solar Charger has been designed to power the Berkey Lights LED lamps as well as other applications such as mobile phones, radios, digital cameras, and PDAs when electricity is not available. Its multi-voltage capabilities, multiple adapters, and rechargeable batteries provide for a flexible source of auxiliary backup power. Simply place the Berkey Solar Charger in the sun, plug in your application, and you have power. Disconnect your application, and the system automatically begins charging its own rechargeable batteries. Get the incredible Berkey Solar Charger for only $75 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. And tell them Alex Jones sent you. That's toll-free, 888-803-4438.
Coming this August through October, the Models of Excellence series, airing on CNN and the Discovery Channel, will be featuring segments on innovative home-based business solutions. Many companies were considered, but only one company made the final cut. The company that was chosen above and beyond the rest is the same company that you've been hearing about for months here on GCN. www.DidYouRobBillGates.com. This home-based business has changed the lives of many people worldwide by allowing economic freedom never thought possible. Through a combination of advanced technology and professional follow-up conducted by an in-house staff, all of the prospecting, presenting, and personal follow-up is done for you. Seem too good to be true? Well, think again. Check your local listings for CNN and the Discovery Channel special on this great program and see for yourself what a life-changing experience this can be. Would you like more information right now? Just visit www.DidYouRobBillGates.com and learn how easy it is to start today.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Newspaper crime reporter from the time he was in college, best-selling author. He's owned and run newspapers, worked with the Fort Worth Star-Telegram, again, best-selling author, and is the main writer on the film JFK. And I, again, for about 6 months, had owned the director's cut. I bought it when I was at Best Buy, buying some equipment, and I hadn't watched it. I popped it in, sunning out with my wife, and didn't end up going to bed till about 2, watching the extras with my mouth hanging open. I mean, this film is incredible. And Jim Mars is really some of the central brains behind it, and we're so honored to have him as a colleague. Here's a little quick clip from the documentary about the JFK film, Beyond Conspiracy, with Mars talking about CIA, mob, and military connections. Here it is.
The key thing, I think, that a lot of people don't lose sight of, fact of, is that once you dismiss the communist thing, the foreign plot, and you've got the mob, the CIA, the FBI, the military, okay, we tend to think of those as separate entities. And yet, if we'll really stop and think about it, they're all interconnected.
Jim, you were going to finish up with some comments about 9/11 before the break.
Well, there's so much about 9/11 we could talk about. The whole lengthy commentary you have about Building 7 and of course, Larry Silverstein, the owner, who says, well, we decided to pull it, so I told him to pull it, and we watched the building collapse, and then all the arguments about what he really meant. You know, a few years after that, after he made that comment, and when this issue was becoming big, one of the spokesmen for Silverstein Properties came out and said, well, what he meant was, to pull the firemen out of the building.
But there were no firemen for 8 hours before it collapsed.
Exactly. They pulled, according to the official record, they pulled the firemen out about 10:30 that morning.
And in the very same PBS documentary narrated by Spacey, they, in the next clip, they pull the wreckage of Building 6, and they say that we're getting ready to pull it, and it shows them blow it up.
Exactly. That is just common jargon for a controlled demolition.
That'd be like if I said, I'm going to blow your head off, and then you're found the next day, Jim, with your head blown off, and then I tell the police, well, I said on air I was going to blow his head off, but I meant I was going to give him a kiss on the forehead.
Yeah, exactly. And that's how ridiculous all this is. But what they've done, both in the Kennedy assassination and in 9/11, is the classic debate technique, which is appeal to authority. The higher the authority, if they say 2 and 2 is 5, then we're just expected to believe
them. Because they're experts.
They're experts or they're leaders.
Now, the real clip from the director's cut where they beef this up is about 13 minutes. We've got it down to about 8. This Fletcher Prouty quote, for those that just joined us, he was the liaison in Black World Ops between the Pentagon and the CIA, and he got sent away, which he never did, literally to the North Pole, for this event so they could pull the protective detail that he would be in control of away from Kennedy. So let's go ahead and play this key clip from JFK. Here it is.
And I assume if you've come this far, what I have to say interests you. But I'm not going to name names and tell you who or what I represent, except to say you're close. You're closer than you think.
In fact, hit pause.
Okay.
Back it up a second or two. I meant to add, too, while he's talking, there are flashbacks to people at the White House, LBJ and others, talking about, you know, how the plot formed, you know, how it began, how it started, so that won't be confusing. I needed to add that, and we did cut out the profanity. Here it is.
I assume if you've come this far, what I have to say interests you, but I'm not going to name names and tell you who or what I represent, except to say you're close. You're closer than you think. Okay? Everything I'm going to tell you is classified top secret. I was a soldier, Mr. Garrison. 2 wars. I was one of those secret guys in the Pentagon that supplies the military hardware, the planes, bullets, rifles, for what we call black operations. Black ops. Assassinations, coup d'etat, rigging elections, propaganda, psych warfare, and so on. 1963. I spent much of September 63 working on the Kennedy plan for getting all U.S. personnel out of Vietnam by the end of 1965. This plan was one of the strongest, most important papers issued from the Kennedy White House. His National Security Action Memo 263 ordered home the first 1,000 troops for Christmas. But then in November, 1 week after the murder of Vietnamese President Diem of Saigon and 2 weeks before the assassination of our president, a strange thing happened to me. I was sent by my superior officer, we'll call him Y. I was sent by General Y to the South Pole. The military escort for a group of international VIPs. I was on my way back in New Zealand when the president was killed. Now, Oswald was charged at 7 p.m. Dallas time with Tippett's murder. That's 2 o'clock in the afternoon of the next day, New Zealand time. But already, their papers had the entire history of this unknown 24-year-old man, Oswald. Studio picture, detailed biographical data, Russian information, and were pretty sure of the fact that he killed the president alone, although it took them 4 more hours before they even charged him with that crime in Dallas. Felt to me as if, well, that cover story was being put up, like we would in a black op. Anyway, after I came back, I asked myself, why was I, the chief of special ops, selected to travel to the South Pole at that time to do a job that any number of others could have done? And I wondered if it could have been because one of my routine duties, if I had been in Washington, would have been to arrange for additional security in Texas. So I decided to check it out. And sure enough, I found out that someone had told the 112th Military Intelligence Group at 4th Army Headquarters at Fort Sam Houston to stand down that day. Over the protests of the unit commander, Colonel Reich.
I believe it's a mistake.
This is significant because it is standard operating procedure, especially in a known hostile city like Dallas, to supplement the Secret Service. You would have felt an army presence in the streets that day, but none of this happened. It was a violation of the most basic protection codes we have, and it is the best indication of a massive plot in Dallas. Now, who could have best done this? Black ops, Mr. Garrison. People in my business, people like my superior officer, could have called Colonel Reich and said, look, we have another unit coming from so-and-so providing security. You'll stand down. I mean, that day, in fact, there were some individual Army intelligence people in Dallas. I'm still trying to figure out who and why. But they weren't protecting a client. And, of course, Oswald. Army intel had a Harvey Lee Oswald on file. But all those files have been destroyed. Many strange things were happening, and your Lee Harvey Oswald had nothing to do with them. Those of us who'd been in secret ops since the beginning knew the Warren Commission was fiction. But there was something deeper, uglier. I knew Alan Dulles very well. I briefed him many a time in his house. But for the life of me, I still can't figure out why he was appointed to investigate Kennedy's death, the man who had fired him. Dulles, by the way, was General Wythe's benefactor. I got out in 64, resigned my commission.
I never realized Kennedy was so dangerous to the establishment. Is that Warren?
Well, it's a real question, isn't it? Why? The how and the who is just scenery for the public. Oswald, Ruby, Cuba, the Mafia. Keeps them guessing like some kind of parlor game, prevents them from asking the most important question, why? Why was Kennedy killed? Who benefited? Who has the power to cover it up? Who? In 1961, right after the Bay of Pigs, very, very few people know about this, Art. I participated in drawing up National Security Action Memos 55, 56,
General?
57. These are crucial documents, classified top secret. But basically in them, Kennedy instructed General Lemnitz, chairman of the Joint Chiefs, that from here on forward, the Joint Chiefs of Staff would be wholly responsible for all covert paramilitary action in peacetime. This basically ended the reign of the CIA. Splintered it, as JFK promised he would, into 1,000 pieces. And now he was ordering the military to help him do it. This was unprecedented. I can't tell you the shockwaves that this sent along the corridors of power in Washington. This, and of course, the firing of Alan Dulles, Richard Bissell, and General Charles Cabell. All of them sacred cows in intel since World War II. You got some very upset people here. And don't underestimate the budget cuts that Kennedy called for in March of 63 either. Nearly 52 military installations in 25 states, 21 overseas bases. You're talking big money. You know how many helicopters have been lost in Vietnam? Nearly 3,000 so far. Who makes that? Bell Helicopter. Who owns Bell? Well, Bell was nearly bankrupt when the First National Bank of Boston approached the CIA about developing the helicopter for Indochina usage. How about the F-111 fighters? General Dynamics of Fort Worth, Texas. Who owns that? Find out the defense budget since the war began. 75, going on 100 billion. Nearly 200 billion will be spent before it's over. In 1949, it was 10 billion. No war, no money. The organizing principle of any society, Mr. Garrison, is for war. The authority of the state over its people resides in its war powers. And Kennedy wanted to end the Cold War in his second term. He wanted to call off the moon race in favor of cooperation with the Soviets. He signed a treaty with the Soviets to ban nuclear testing. He refused to invade Cuba in 1962, and he set out to withdraw from Vietnam. But all of that ended on the 22nd of November, 1963. As early as 1961, they knew Kennedy was not going to go to war in Southeast Asia. Like Caesar, he is surrounded by enemies and something's underway. But it has no face. There are no compromising connections except at the most secret point. But what's paramount is that it must succeed. No matter how many die, no matter how much it costs, the perpetrators must be on the winning side and never subject to prosecution for anything by anyone. That is a coup d'etat.
And there's some other clips we cut out where he explains that Garrison, when he goes public, he's got to stay public. There's other clips where Garrison explains to his wife, I'm going public, I've got to stay in the spotlight and just hope people 20, 30 years from now learn the truth about this and, you know, stop this from continuing. Jim Mars, powerful stuff.
Absolutely. And you know what's really interesting to me, though, is it did take almost 40 years for the bulk of the American public to finally figure out that there was a big conspiracy to kill Kennedy. And national polls show that now we all pretty much accept that. The reason it's not talked about more is because it's not been officially acknowledged, and therefore the mass media, the corporate control,
yeah, it's
doesn't
talk
about
it. it's a painful truth for them to deal with. We'll be right back, Jim Marsh. Stay with us.
Nuclear reactors provide economical energy, but would you be prepared during an accident? During nuclear disasters, great amounts of radioactive iodine are released into the atmosphere, which are then readily absorbed into the body. Medical Corps' potassium iodate gives you virtually complete protection from the most feared consequence of a nuclear accident, radioactive poisoning. Potassium iodate can protect against radioactive poisoning by filling the thyroid with good iodine. This shields the thyroid and prevents it from absorbing the harmful radioactive iodine. Potassium iodate is better than the iodide form because it is not as likely to cause upset stomachs in children, the elderly, the sick, and pets. Order the official potassium iodate for only $24 and save $5 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. Call now and get free shipping. That's 888-803-4438.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson, here for the 2007 Red Book. The commodity markets like gold, silver, copper, aluminum, and oil have exploded over the last year. This is a glaring testimonial of how quickly the U.S. dollar can be devalued. Many have turned to precious metals to provide a safe haven while increasing the potential profits. Though accumulating precious metals has been a proven method for the storage of wealth, it is important that you understand the market you are getting into. Midas Resources is offering the Red Book and Silver Dollar for only $27.95. The Red Book is the number one best-selling guide to gold and silver coins. Call for your copy today. It's 800-686-2237. If you've already accumulated or plan to get into the precious metals market, you simply must have the Red Book in your library. Call 800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
David J. Smith for Newswatch Magazine. Did you know that Bible prophecy talks about the United States, British Commonwealth, Russia, China, and the communist world in the last days? Did you know that it predicts a confrontation between atheistic communism and the Western world of Christianity? The plans have already been laid and they conform to Bible prophecy. We'd like to help you understand why these things are happening and more about Bible prophecy by offering you an absolutely free one-year subscription to Newswatch Magazine. Just call our toll-free number, 1-800-516-8736. That's 1-800-516-8736. Call for a one-year free subscription to Newswatch Magazine. It's free. Call now while our operators are standing by to take your call.
Roswell, UFOs, flying saucers, alien abduction. Are we alone? Information regarding this and many other questions about the unknown are only a click away at www.theufostore.com. Theufostore.com offers hundreds of DVDs about UFOs, aliens, crop circles, conspiracies, Bigfoot, suppressed science, ancient mysteries, and the latest DVD releases like Dan Aykroyd, Unplugged on UFOs, and the Alien Files 5 DVD set. TheUFOStore.com also offers the book Roswell, It Really Happened by Jesse Marcel, one of the last survivors of the Roswell UFO crash that examined the spacecraft wreckage in 1947, revealing its hidden secrets. Log on to www.theUFOStore.com and request a free UFO Store catalog. To receive a free catalog by mail, call 541-523-2630. That's 541-523-2630. TheUFOStore.com, the largest selection of UFO products on the Internet.
Coming up in the next segment, we're going to play some excerpts of Mr. X's discussion with Jim Garrison, who, of course, it's Peter Sutherland in the film talking to the main star of the film, Kevin Costner. And I want to spend a lot of time today talking about the making of that film because it gives you a bird's eye view into the incredible research that took place and, of course, the book that was written by Jim Marsh that it's all based on. But, Jim, right now, the parallels between 9/11 and JFK.
Well, if the purpose of the mastermind behind the 9/11 attacks was to curtail American freedom, centralize more power in the federal government, and set back the social agenda of the United States in favor of an open-ended military intelligence buildup, then they succeeded admirably, okay? And to many people, such as myself, it all had a familiar ring to it. In many ways, the aftermath of the 9/11 attacks fits the same template as that of the assassination of President Kennedy in 1963. And here's how. Within hours, despite a lack of real evidence, one man was blamed for the event, along with hints that he was connected to foreign enemies. Official pronouncements were widely publicized, only to be later admitted to be errors. And although within the jurisdiction of the local authorities, the entire case was usurped by federal agencies, particularly FEMA and the FBI and the CIA, all agencies under the control of a president who benefited from the tragedy. A group of specialists, medical in the JFK's case, and some engineers in that of the World Trade Center were convened, but limited in what they could view and study, and blocked from conducting an objective probe by federal officials. Evidence in the case, both cases, was hastily removed and destroyed, forever lost to an impartial and meaningful investigation. More evidence was locked away in government files under the excuse of national security. Federal malfeasance was excused by claiming lack of manpower and resources. No one was disciplined or fired, and federal agency budgets were actually increased. Any alternative to the official version of events was decried as conspiracy theory or unpatriotic. And then the federal government used the event to increase its own centralized power. A foreign war, Vietnam in JFK's case, Iraq and Afghanistan today, which otherwise would probably have been opposed by the American public, was supported by a grieving population. A top government leader, LBJ then, now Bush, formerly under suspicion of election fraud, corrupt business dealings, was suddenly propelled to new heights of popularity. Many citizens knew or suspected that the official version of the events was incorrect, but were afraid to speak out, and a compliant and syncopatic mass media was content to parrot the official version of events and studiously avoided asking the hard questions that might have revealed the truth.
And then, Jim, if you look at who has the motive, it's the military-industrial complex and the bankers that own and control it in both events, and then you look at the evidence, they're the ones that carried it out. And now, shifting gears again, letting you finish up those great points you're making, I mean...
Well, here's two points that pretty well verifies that. In the case of JFK, Fourth Army intelligence, as a matter of routine, usually would have placed maybe 100 or more undercover military agents in the crowd along the parade route as additional security, and they would have seen that security in Dallas was tight. If they saw an open window, if they saw people standing on the Triple Underpass, they would have taken action. But they were told to stand down. Same thing on 9/11. On 9/11, we have a $400 billion defense system that suddenly failed systematically right down the line. And, of course, the reason on 9/11, as you are well aware, Alex, was because of the war game exercises that were scheduled for the morning of 9/11. But let me tell you two big differences between 9/11 and JFK's death. It took less than 10 days for LBJ to block any other investigations by creating the Warren Commission. But in the case of 9/11, it was almost 2 years before the 9/11 Commission was created, and largely because of foot-dragging and stalling by President Bush and Vice President
Well, that's
Cheney.
Because they learned that the Warren Commission report actually became more incriminating because of the thousands of lies in all those volumes, and so they didn't even want to have any fake investigation to begin with.
Exactly. And in the case of the Warren Commission, the report came out, was issued, as I recall, in late September of 64. And then a few months later, about November, December, they actually published and made public 26 volumes, 26 books full of their raw data. And, of course, it took researchers some time, even years, but eventually we found out that what was in their own published material did not support what their report said. But we got none of this in 9/11. It was all hidden away, and there was no raw data presented, just a report saying
stay there, Jim.
Happened.
Stay there. We're going to come back. We're going to play an excerpt of Mr. X, Fletcher Prouty, talking to Jim Garrison from the film JFK. We're going to talk about your involvement in that film, Then we'll get into what really happened to JFK on that day, the details.
We're on the march. The Empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
This is Jack Blood with the Genesis Radio Network. I have an urgent message for all of our listeners. The mass media keeps telling us that we are the richest, most powerful economy in the world, quote unquote. If this is true, why can't we pay our bills? Why is the United States the world's largest debtor nation? The truth is that we are in the worst debt bubble in our nation's history. When the bubble bursts, will you be able to feed your family? When the inevitable crash occurs, will you be ready? Call Whitehurst International at 1-888-892-6238. That's 1-888-892-6238 for the following two free reports. U.S. debt bubble, red alert, and real estate crash. Call 888-8-XANADU, that's 888-8-XANADU, and ask for George.
The Berkey Security Pack is your one-stop solution for unexpected emergencies. It provides you with purified water, light, power, and communications ability. The Security Pack includes a Berkey Light water purifier, an LED base, two Berkey Sport filtration bottles, the Berkey battery adapter, the Berkey MP solar charger, as well as a backup set of two Black Berkey purification elements. The Berkey Security Pack is important every day and a must during emergencies because it provides purified water, long-term low-energy lighting, backup battery power for your Berkey LEDs, free long-term solar power for communications devices such as radios, walkie-talkies, and cell phones, as well as power for small applications. Get the one-stop solution for your emergency and everyday needs. The Berkey Security Pack, a retail value of $518 for only $399 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. Not yet available in Iowa.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonance. If the resonant frequency force making the glass vibrate is big enough, the size of the vibration will become so large that the glass shatters. Using a similar principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. Now available is the 2006 BioSolutions Plus. The BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Simple step-by-step instructions using pictures are easy to follow. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
Jim Mars, we're going to get back into JFK here in just a few moments, but before we do that, tell us about the book that you wrote that was the blueprint for the movie JFK. It's such an accomplishment. You know, your skills, your research are unparalleled. Tell us about that book, and then tell us about your 9/11 books and the new book that's coming out.
Right. Well, the book, of course, that dealt with the Kennedy assassination was entitled Crossfire, The Plot That Killed Kennedy. And basically, as you well know, Alex, it was simply a accumulation of all the information all put together under one cover. And this, of course, is what made it desirable for Oliver Stone. He had decided to personify his movie with the story of Jim Garrison, so he used Jim Garrison's book, On the Trail of the Assassins, about his prosecution of Clay Shaw in New Orleans. But for the actual details of the assassination, he used my book, Crossfire. And I was there through a good portion of the filming of the movie, and also would go to Dallas and read through the scripts and make notes. But here's something interesting, Alex, and I think you and your audience need to know this. Oliver Stone did not just take my book and run with it. He had an entire research staff headed by Jane Rusconi and a very capable woman. And they backtracked on all my work. And they went back and even talked to some of the same witnesses. They looked at the same documents. And interestingly enough, they came to the same conclusions that I had.
I want to be clear. I can't say too much on air, but some of my work is being looked at for a film similar to JFK in the way it's presented. And there's a team of seven people looking at everything I put out. And, of course, they found it to all be accurate. And, in fact, found a lot of times it's worse than what I'm presenting.
Right.
Was that the case with them looking at your facts?
Yes, that's exactly what went on. For example, I'll give you a good example. Where a lot of people who especially were alive at the time know the story of Rufus Youngblood, the Secret Service agent that was assigned to Lyndon Johnson, who was riding in the front seat. And according to the official version, he leaped over the seat, threw himself on Lyndon Johnson, and protected him all the way to Parkland Hospital. When they started running the motorcade in Dallas for the Oliver Stone film, they had the Rufus Youngblood character leap over the seat and throw himself on Johnson. I went to Oliver Stone and told him that I had talked to Senator Ralph Yarbrough, who was riding in the back seat with Johnson and Lady Bird Johnson, and he told me that that never happened. What actually happened was...
Johnson was on the radio.
Yeah, when the shooting actually started, that Youngblood leaned over the back seat with a handheld radio, and he and Johnson listened to this radio and monitored the frequency all the way to the hospital. And, of course, when I told Oliver Stone this, he had them stop Johnson, the Secret Service agent, from leaping over the seat. So that's the kind of input that we had going into this.
Yeah, talking to you the other night, then when we see JFK and now the director's cut, that's even better with a lot of excise, the really powerful stuff got cut out by Warner Brothers. It's now back in. How much of it is 100% accurate from your research?
Now, number one, the first thing Oliver Stone ever said to me regarding JFK was he said, "I want to make it clear, I am not making a documentary. I am making a movie." So you have to understand it is.
But I mean, the general facts, though, are really based on the best info.
Right. And now some of the characters are composite. Some of the time frames have been compressed for the sake of getting a movie together in a coherent form. But as far as the overall fact, the overall truth is presented, I will definitely say this. The movie JFK is the closest that we've come yet to finding out the truth of the Kennedy assassination.
Here's an example. We've got a clip from the documentary Beyond Conspiracy that was made about the film that you and others have said is really overall with the facts better than the film, and it's available on the same director's cut DVD, and it's clip number 16, Network. It's Dean Andrews and Garrison. Dean speaks right ta-ta, wrong ho-ho. Tell us about this clip before we play it. Just an example of how incredibly
accurate. Character of Dean Andrews, a New Orleans attorney who was contacted by Clay Bertram and asked to go to Dallas to represent Oswald, is played by John Candy, the Saturday Night Live star. And he's jive talking, and he says, "Yeah, he got the right ha-ha, but the wrong ho-ho." And it just sounds, and a lot of people go, "Oh, that's ridiculous." But in Beyond Conspiracy, they have a filmed interview with Dean Andrews, and the words that John Candy spoke are exactly his words.
Let's go ahead and play clip 16. Here it is.
While conducting his investigation, Jim ran across in the Warren Commission volumes an interview with Dean Andrews. Jim happened to know him because they'd attended law school together at Tulane. On Saturday, the day after the assassination of President Kennedy, Andrews had received a strange phone call from a man named Clay Bertrand asking him, Andrews, to go to Dallas to represent Lee Harvey Oswald as his attorney.
Well, Clay Bertrand, whoever the real man might be, is one of the participants in the assassination. And a man named Dean Andrews is protecting him by not giving his real name. I decided I wanted his real name. So I set up a meeting at lunch.
Well, I don't know what he's up to. He's picking me like chicken, shucking me like corn, stewing me like an oyster. I mean, he ain't putting nothing down but air.
Dean, are you trying to tell me that you received a call from Clay Bertrand, who was a client of yours, but you don't know what he looks like because you've never seen him, and he'd say, "Scout's honor, my man."
He's got the right ta-ta, but the wrong ho-ho.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to call you into the grand jury, And I spoke some of his language, so to speak. I said, now, when you dance into the grand jury, you better lay the truth on them, or else you are going to be indicted and go to trial for perjury. We tried him, and the jury found him guilty.
So that clip we hear there, that is the real Dean Andrews, and if you compare it to the film, it's exactly the same person. Incredible job.
Exactly. And the same thing with one of the key witnesses to the assassination, Jean Hill, the lady that played Jean Hill in the movie, when she speaks her lines and says, hey, Mr. President, look over here. And they shot him, and look, there's somebody up on the knoll. Everything they show is exactly what Jean Hill has said from the time of the assassination up until her death just a few years ago.
Well, I talked to Madeline Duncan Brown before she died. I interviewed her several times on the radio. You've interviewed her. She was interviewed for this national televised documentary. Blood test, DNA was done on her son, who later died of cancer. Clearly LBJ's son. None of that has been denied. When I would do shows about this, the radio station would get hopping mad phone calls from you can believe who, but nothing, you can guess who, but nothing ever came of it. But we have her at the meetings there visiting with LBJ up in Dallas and then back at the Driscoll, his mistress, where he's bragging about how he had Kennedy killed. And then at the very same time, now we have LBJ's lawyer, who, of course, was the father of Scott McClellan, Barr McClellan, and the ex-husband of the lady currently running for governor here in Texas, whatever her name is this week, Strayhorn. So having those two individuals go public about LBJ saying he had JFK killed, I mean, how strong is that?
Well, it probably would have been enough to get him convicted in a court of law if there had been any legal proceedings. Keep in mind, Jim Garrison, who has been vilified and is still being vilified by certain sections of the mass media for clutching at straws and just trying to aggrandize himself, he is the only public official who tried to bring legal action in the case of the Kennedy assassination.
But in hindsight, this is an incredible veteran of World War II, Marine Corps rescue pilot.
A former FBI.
Former FBI agent. And in hindsight, it turns out that with limited resources, he did an incredible job.
He actually did. He really began to crack into the assassination, and that's why they had to take unprecedented steps to suppress his information and to try to somehow another compromise him. That, of course, is, we mentioned the other day, there's a scene that was cut from the initial movie JFK, but it's
been they don't included. Say in the film what it is, but he's at the airport. One of his former FBI guys that works for him, that one of his other employees is telling him is setting him up, who we know is setting him up. He comes up and says, they're going to kill you. You got to go with me and these men. They were probably going to kill him right then. And he says, no way. So he goes to the bathroom, he uses the toilet, and then they send a homosexual in, and then he figures it out and runs out as the police all come running in. But in the film, they don't spell that out. In fact, it wasn't even clear to me, but that was based on a true story. Tell us about it.
Well, that's true. You just pretty well outlined it. I think by this time they were trying to nullify Jim Garrison. They would have killed him if they thought they could get away with it, but he was too public by this time, and the whole eyes of the world were on him. So what they did was on one of his trips, they, as you say, they planted a known homosexual in the bathroom. They were going to try to catch them in a compromising situation and then arrest him and hold him up as a homosexual, which, of course, today doesn't mean much, but back then would have been the death knell for him.
And, of course,
career.
It makes sense because the real CIA team in New Orleans was a homosexual gang, just like the Bush administration. And I'm not even here bashing these people, folks. I'm telling you, They do this to compromise each other, and many power sectors going back 100 years in this country are homosexual gangs, and Oliver Stone covers that in the film, doesn't he?
Well, he alludes to that. Yeah, like you said, I don't know if he actually just comes out and says, here, look at this, but it's just like in the scene in the airport where the homosexual runs out of the bathroom after Garrison, he's going, but darling, come back, something like that. They were trying to get him, but Jim realized the trap and just fled the scene.
And meanwhile, before the cops could get there, here come 20 cops running in right after he runs out.
Exactly. And they were all hovering, just waiting to take care of him. And see, that's the thing people have to understand. In the Kennedy assassination, 9/11, I'm sure, is the same thing. you don't have just one or two or three people who are in on the plot. You've got a bunch of people, but all of them are in highly compartmentalized. They only do what they're told. They only know they're small.
And I love how they bring one of his deputies over to him, one of his former FBI lawyers that works for him, in a parking lot. They shove him in violently into a corner, and they go, of course, Lee Harvey didn't do it. It was the Soviets. And if this comes out, it's going to be World War III. Now, you've got to work with us. And he says, no, and they ram him up against the wall, and he goes ahead and flips. See, they also use twisted disinfo.
Right. Plus, they use threats. I mean, they will threaten not only you, but if you stand up to the threats, then they'll threaten your family, just like they did H. Ross Perot.
Well, yeah, it's happened to me, too. Let's go back, though. Who was that particular individual in history that was really one of their operatives inside Garrison's operation?
Well, that was Bill Boxley, I believe, was his actual name, and they called him Bill Brizard in the movie. Garrison's investigation was thoroughly penetrated. They had all kinds of people, young people, showing up to volunteer to help him, and then in the process, they looted his files, they made copies of everything, they bugged his offices, and this was the FBI, okay? So, and this is one of the things that really got Jim Garrison, because as you mentioned, he was a former pilot in the war, he was a former FBI agent, and a public service. He really believed in America, and it never crossed his mind early on that the government in the form of the FBI would actually be blocking him and working against him. And I think the same thing could be said for John F. Kennedy. I mean, he kind of knew what was going on, and he knew there were powerful factions arrayed against him. But I think in his deepest, darkest paranoia, I don't think he really understood that people within the government would actually kill the chief and present the public of this country with a coup d'etat.
Later we're going to play the Mr. X clip and several others based on Fletcher Prouty, but first I want to play clip 18. This is with Mars and Madeline Duncan Brown on Cronkite on the LBJ, quote, conspiracy stuff. And this is from the documentary Beyond Conspiracy, the companion to JFK, the movie. Go ahead and roll it.
Theory number two contends that Texas oilmen, fed up with Kennedy's threats to their oil depletion tax breaks and defense contracts, funded the triggermen. Madeline Brown knew these oil barons and witnessed their deep resentment of the Kennedys.
H.L. Hunt was passing out several days prior to the assassination the wanted for treason. And I told him at the time, I said, H.L., you're going to get yourself in trouble. You cannot do the President of the United States that way. And he remarked, the hell I can. I'm the richest man in the world, and I never get in trouble.
Madeline Brown may have had a unique vantage point into the world of Texas politics. She claims to have had a long affair and a son with Lyndon Johnson.
So I have double-checked on that. There are documents. There's letters from Johnson's lawyers. Plus, I had checked with friends of mine in the press corps who had followed Johnson on the campaign trail, and they all just grinned and said, oh, yeah, Madeline Brown. It was an open secret.
Brown remembers Johnson fondly.
He was wonderful. He was as powerful in the bed, you might say, as he was in politics.
Brown says she once asked her lover what he knew about the Kennedy assassination.
I'd met him on New Year's, following the assassination, New Year's Eve. And I said, Lyndon, I said, people in Dallas are talking that you had something to do with the assassination. And he became very, very violently angry. And at that time, though, he did tell me it was the oil people that I knew here in Dallas and the CIA. And he slammed the door after he told me that he'd said too much to me. And, of course, my body went to, like, number 10 on a Richter scale. I couldn't believe that all of it was so ugly.
In 1969, Lyndon Johnson surprised Walter Cronkite with his own doubts about the Warren Commission.
He kind of mused, almost sotto voce, said, but on the other hand, you know, I've always thought, you know, there could have been a conspiracy there.
After reviewing the interview transcript, Johnson insisted his conspiracy remarks be deleted on the grounds of national security.
He was so persuasive and put such pressure on Bill Paley, the president of the network, that we abandoned that quote, didn't use it, which makes me feel that it was even more important.
All right, so there's that clip. And, of course, by then he had more heart attacks. He was getting ready to die. He was against the war. He was starting to apologize for it. So these people start to slip up. We see this a lot, which is why the globalists tend to kill a lot of top New World Order minions when they get sick or when they get old. If they start shooting their mouths off, there's a lot of questions about that with LBJ. Jim, you want to comment on that?
Well, that's true. And LBJ got very paranoid, and he was having trouble sleeping, and he told people he was having these dreams of bombers coming over and bombing him. I think it was the guilt that he carried of the knowledge of the Kennedy assassination. Another good instance was that...
Yeah, you can't do this if you've got passion and any soul left. Now, of course, there are globalists who love it and nothing hurts them, but, yeah, clearly this destroyed LBJ.
Exactly. He came from a poor background, and even though he caved in, sold out, everything else, I think he still retained some of his humanity. I was going to mention his brother, Sam Houston Johnson, contacted him after the 64 election and said, Lyndon, I'm, you know, sorry I didn't help you more. And he said, that's okay, we won anyway, and I really appreciate your help. And just
tell us on the other side. Tell us on the other side. Recap it. We'll finish up there. A bunch of other clips, more with Jim Mars. Stay with us. This is riveting.
Year after a year in production and traveling to distant lands, my new film Terror Storm is complete. Shocking declassified government documents prove that Western governments are orchestrating terror attacks against their own populations as a pretext to enslave them. Terror Storm proves that not only was 9/11 an inside job, but the attacks of 7/7 in London were carried out by British intelligence. Terror Storm chronicles the lies that took us to war in Iraq, a White House program to disseminate fake news, NSA spying, secret police torture, the latest 9/11 information, and much, much more. Terror Storm is the definitive guide to the history of government-sponsored terrorism. It's an anthology of government crimes. Terror Storm is a film that everyone who wants to be truly informed must see. Get your copy today at Infowars.com or PrisonPlanet.com or by calling toll-free 1-888-253-3139 or watch it right now online at PrisonPlanet.tv.
Now you can bring Berkey purification power anywhere with the Sport Berkey filtration bottle. Ideal for sporting games, camping or boating, or Sport Berkey is small enough to store in your glove box, so it's ideal backup for unexpected emergencies like blackouts, floods, or earthquakes. It's simply the best personal water filtration system available. So effective you can drink raw, untreated water from lakes, rivers, and streams. Unlike other sport bottles, the Sport Berkey's patented filter formulation is so powerful it removes cysts, parasites, harmful bacteria, and chemicals like herbicides and pesticides. It even reduces radon-222, lead, and other heavy metals. This lightweight, rugged 22-ounce filter is small enough to go everywhere, so take one to work and keep another in your glove box for emergencies. Get the Berkey Sport for only $39. Get two for $70 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. Order your Berkey Sport today. That's toll-free, 888-803-4438, or order on the web at berkeywater.com.
Herbal Healer Academy is the global supplier of the finest natural medicine that you may need in these troubled times. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECAC, colloidal silver 500 parts per million, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for contrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning, to name a few. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. For a limited time, you can sign up on the website and receive our 104-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com. Check out our online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. We have been working hard since 1988 to save the remnant. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education.
Hour, we'll play excerpts of Jim Garrison's summation speech, one of the most powerful that I've read in human history. And this is I've read a lot of famous summation speeches in prosecutions or in legislative debates, closing arguments. And we'll also play some excerpts of Fletcher Prouty and get Jim's incredible research on that. Grab your pens and paper, because in a few minutes I'm going to demand. I asked him earlier. He really didn't plug himself to get Jim to tell you about his new book that's coming out. Just an incredible writer. We're going to start carrying all of his books here. Now, this man is just amazing. The more of his books I read when I have time to read them, my only problem is they're just so well-written, so well-researched. Here's a clip, though, from the documentary about the JFK film. This is Mars talking about the strongest motive in self-defense for JFK is that the CIA, he said, was going to be in 1,000 pieces. Here it is.
We intend to profit from this lesson. We intend to re-examine and reorient our forces of all kinds.
If the Cubans saw Kennedy as their enemy, JFK began to see the CIA as his.
Later on, there was a newspaper headline, the New York Times, a subheadline, Kennedy Bitterness, which quoted Kennedy as saying, I'm going to take the CIA, break into 1,000 pieces, and cast the pieces into the winds. They were finished.
The strongest motive to kill somebody is self-defense. And these intelligence officers were the same intelligence officers who had been participating in plots to assassinate Castro, Lumumba, the DM brothers, Papa Doc Duvalier, world leaders that they didn't agree with all around the country, all around the world. So is it any stretch of the imagination that in their fear and in self-defense that they simply sent their hit squads to Dallas?
Now, that's what it comes down to. And you look at these CIA chiefs. These are the people involved bringing heroin and cocaine into this country, involved in organized crime. These are bad, bad people. Do you think Kennedy was a little bit naive, or do you just think he had amazing courage and thought that he could handle it, overconfident, Jim Mars?
I think a little bit of both. I think that he, in fact, that actually probably was the key point that got him killed. He truly believed he was president of the United States.
Well, he told the Russians a year before he was killed that there could be a coup. I think he should have gone public with that, and that would have nixed it.
Right. But, see, he was still naive enough to think that the system worked. There's people I'm in touch with right now who still believe if they could just get to the right grand jury or to the right congressional committee that everything would be straightened out. But, of course, it hasn't, and it's not.
Jim, before we go any further, tell us about your last couple of books and the new one coming out that I hear is a humdinger.
Yeah. Of course, after Crossfire, I asked everybody, what do you think is the next big deep, dark, secret government cover-up? And almost unanimously, people said, well, I'd really like to know what's the real truth about the UFO situation. So I began to go back in and begin to research UFOs, and that led me to the Army's remote viewing experiments and studies and their remote viewing unit. And I wrote a book on that, but it got suppressed. They canceled it at the last minute, and then just a few weeks later, the CIA issued a press release admitting that they had been doing remote viewing, but they didn't. They said, we didn't get very much use out of it.
And tell us about your current book that's coming out.
Okay, the current book now is The Terra Conspiracy, and it will be out on bookshelves by the first week in September.
That's being put out by Disinformation.
That's right. And this one is is probably everything that you've talked about. Alex, this not only deals with the questions, inconsistencies, improbabilities of 9/11, but puts it into a wider context.
Okay, so we've got the Terror Conspiracy coming out. We'll tell you more about that, folks, before Jim leaves us in the next hour. Before we end this hour, in the next 30 seconds, Jim will be in Dallas giving a speech when I premiere Terror Storm on August 26th at the Lakewood Theater in Central Dallas. 700 tickets available, and they're going fast right now, available at Infowars.com. You can get them online right there. It's the only place that they're going to be available. I might try to work something out where you can call the toll-free line in the next few days, and then we'll mail you a ticket. We can only do that for a few weeks, so get your tickets online right now. I don't think we're going to reserve any for the door, so that's the one way to get them. Get them right now at Infowars.com.
Copies of the preceding broadcast are available at GCNLive.com or call toll-free 877-300-7645. Terror.